Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 5. Genesis 5, 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, and after his own image, and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he begot Seth, was 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begot Enos. And Seth lived, after he begot Enos, 807 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Cana. And Enos lived after he begot Cana 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Cana lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years, and begot sons and daughters, and the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begot Jared, and Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years, and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, begot Lamech, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years, begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, begot a son, and called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil in our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years, and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word that's ever settled in heaven, for the genealogies that You give us all through Thy Word and reveals to us. You know every part and everything about us, and You know our comings and our outgoings. And Lord, we just praise Thee that You watch over and protect us and keep us, and only You can call the end from the beginning. And look to Thee, O Lord, that You bless this evening as we look at Thy Word, and that we would gain understanding from the Word that You've given us. We just praise Thee in Jesus Christ's name and pray Your mercies be upon all here, that those without Christ, they might be pleased to save, and those in Christ, that You would grant that we'd be built up in the faith. Just thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Generations to the flood, patriarchs from the garden to the flood. God created them male and female. There was no transsexuals ever mentioned anywhere in the scriptures. There are homosexuals that are mentioned throughout the scriptures, and they are an abomination unto God, as mentioned in Leviticus 18:22. The modern question is, how can you tell a person is a man or a woman? Average person cannot know. Children of years ago, and cattlemen, ranchers, and racehorse owners, and you just name it, they can know what was a male and what was a female. But In our day, you can't really know. Genesis 5 is called the book of generations of Adam. Verses 1 and 2 recounts the creation of Adam and Eve, and God called their name Adam. Did not say call his name Adam, but call their name Adam in the day when they were created. The name Adam is the Hebrew, and this Strong's 120 means man, mankind. Human beings are first man. It is the generic name for mankind. And Hebrews 121, which means red, is Adam's personal name. As mentioned in Genesis 2:21 and the other verses listed there, plus three other Old Testament verses. In the New Testament, it's used seven times. Adam is the Greek Strong's word 76, or red earth. Does this mean that he was red like Esau? But Esau was red because of his hair. His hair was of a red color, and apparently he was a very hairy person, because Edom means red also, and so we are the, think about the ruddy, which is healthy, which is considered a healthy red color. This is spoken of David, that he was ruddy, and speaks of our Lord in Song of Solomon in 5:10 as being ruddy. One of the meanings of ruddy is that they were not pale, sickly looking. So if somebody was look healthy, they might say that they had a ruddy complexion. And if they look pale or sickly, they wouldn't call them ruddy. They just call them sickly. And so this chapter records Seth's line, naming the family heads from the first 1,600 years of man's existence. And Genesis 5 includes a brief account of Cain's line, but without any dates or ages. We think, you notice I say we think, it covers the same time period as Seth's genealogies do, that from Adam or from creation to the flood. Although we can't prove that because no ages or numbers are given, and there are eight names in Cain's line, including Cain, through two of them, had Lamech, their father, had with different mothers. Genesis 6 gives Seth's line, which nine names, including Seth. Again, Cain is the head of the ungodly line, and Seth is the head of the godly line. Some compare to Mary's line, the mother of Christ, according to the flesh, in Matthew 1. This chart here, we have a couple of charts here. It just gives the name of the patriarch and what his name means. And if you notice a lot of dots there, it means they got a lot of other ideals what it, their names could mean. And Seth, compensation, we know he was a replacement for Abel. Enos, man, frail, feeble, mortal. This is speaking of mankind as being compared to God, weak. Canaan is possessor, acquisition, their smith. And this smith could be, as mentioned in Cain's line, where they had a worker in iron and so on and so forth. This could mean that, but it's very vague. And Mahalalel, God be praised, praiser of God. God is splendor. And so his name really is just a praise unto God. Jared, decent, flowing. Enoch, initiating, teacher, dedicated, consecrated, experienced. And his name doesn't mean rapture or translation, but that's exactly, of course, what God did. When he is dead, Methuselah, when he is dead, it shall be sent. The flood is the root to sin, to miss, to stretch out, to cast out, messengers of death, man of the javelin. It shall be sent, deluge, man of dart. And the main definition of his name is man of the dart. And you can look up dart and you have a hard time finding. It is an electronic term of our day. And I was looking at this, like, what is this talking about? And it was talking about some type of electronic procedures. And you can have dart one, dart two, and so on and so forth. Lameth, powerful, destroyer, one who overthrows, who is stuck, reduced. And Noah, rest, comfort, comforter, root, rest, and comfort. And, of course, he was named that because that he prophesied peace would be, or rest would come in his day, or the curse would be removed. And the following chart is that of the first patriarch of the righteous line, and the patriarchs, the male head of the family or tribe, and that's a Webb dictionary. Non-patriarchal names are not listed. And this just gives their ages and how long they lived, and you see the progression up to 1056, and then when Noah was 500, which made it 1556, he had his children, it says, and in the year 600 is when the flood comes, so that make it 1656 to the flood. And there's some definitions there. Some rate, if you have ever studied end time and in creation, and some have it 2,000 years from the flood to the, I mean, from creation to the flood, 2,000 years to Christ coming, and 2,000 years to the end time. And the problem is there, of course, is they're about almost 550 years short, because it's not 2,000 years. We take these to be accurate, as mentioned in the notes there, that some says there is a gap there, that that all the names not listed. Now, there's two reasons of doing this. You have a theoevolutionist, which they want to put some billions in there, and then you've got some of the dispensationalists, and I am a dispensationalist, but not this kind, that want to make everything in twos, so 2,000, so on and so forth. And we can't stretch the scriptures to make it say something it doesn't say. And when it says this and begat that one, and he lived so long, I don't see any room for gaps there whatsoever. And so anyway, I don't believe in gaps at all. Now, some places, like in Cain's line, there could be gaps in there because it's not an absolute, you know, this begot, and just kind of vague. If you read the wording there and do the research, you find it's vague. But this line is not vague. It's absolute. So I don't think that we have any, if you will, wiggle room here to play around with the dates. Adam lived in our patriarchs of the patriarchs, or particular, excuse me, of the patriarchs. Adam lived 130 years, and begot sons. He begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, this is 130th year after the creation and not the fall. And there's no children born in the Garden of Eden. They're all born outside of the garden and after the fall. Clearly, Adam and Eve had many children and before Seth was born. And this is one of the reasons is Cain was able to marry a wife, and this was after the fall, or after, not, excuse me, not after the fall, but after the sacrifices, and Seth had not been born yet. He hadn't even been conceived at that time, and I've got a little notation later on. Clearly, Adam and Eve had many children then. Cain was the patriarch of the evil line, or ungodly, and Seth of the righteous. Seth held what should have been Abel's position before Cain, of course, murdered Abel. And so he's replacement, and this is what his name means. He's in the place of a compensation. Seth was made in the image of Adam, who was a saved man and upright. And yet, in the same likeness, yet he was a sinner saved by grace. We are born sinners, so Adam, when he speaks of Seth being in his likeness, that's not a big stamp of approval, other than that Adam was a godly man, and Seth is the head of the godly line that proceeds in our text. In verse 5, it says, all the days of Adam lives 930 years, and he died. We mentioned last time this genealogies of both shows that men died, and this was caused by sin. None of these would have died if they hadn't sinned, but sin came into the world, and the wages of sin is death, and death fell upon man, fell upon all of the creation, and the sun's deteriorating, the moon's deteriorating, the earth is deteriorating, everything is going toward death. Now, some are deteriorating a lot less rate. Sometimes I feel like I'm deteriorating at a pretty fast rate sometimes, but we have they talk about how many millions of years or hundreds of millions, whatever it is, for the sun before it gets to the point where there won't be enough power to run the earth, and that type of thing. We don't have to worry about that. The Lord's going to take care of all that before that ever even gets be a problem. We can study the different ways these names are spelled, Hebrew spelling, I'm not doing that in this lesson. If you want to do that, search all these names out, you'll find that there's very, very many different spellings of the names, and different translations spell them differently, and some are the same, and some give you a lot longer definitions than I did of the names, but in the scriptures, sometimes the name fits, like Noah bring rest, and that is after the flood. But a lot of times they don't fit at all. We see different ones in the scripture where they have a name that should mean peace, and they were war people, So what their parents gives them names, and I don't know if most of us here know what our names mean or not. used to be, when I was younger, you just give family names. And whatever name was in the family, that's what you'd get. And my brother was Donald Roach Kelly. And I thought to myself, that is an awful name, but that is a family name. Roach is one of the family names. And so he has that name. And the point I'm making is they didn't say, well, now Donald means this or George means this and so on and so forth. According to that, I'd be a farmer warrior because George means farmer and Kelly means warrior. So I'd be a farmer warrior. So the names sometimes match up in the scriptures. When God makes us pay a special attention to a name, then it means something. But other than that, we need to be careful when we build up doctrine based upon somebody's name or definition of their name. Verses 23 through 34, we're just going to read a small portion of that. And all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the first human being never ever to taste death. Before him there was none. And after him, there was then Elijah. Hebrews 11:5, and by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Some says you can't please God. Enoch did. The Bible says he did. So it's humanly possible to please God. Of course, we know that has to come by the grace of God that be so. Enoch's name means dedicated. However, not as we mentioned, all names do not necessarily reflect their condition or standing. Adam died in Enoch's 67th year, and the patriarchs born up to that time were still also alive when God took Enoch. There's nothing in the scriptures that they said that they went looking for him as they did Elijah. That doesn't mean that they didn't. There's just nothing mentioned that anybody went looking to see where he was. He is the first to be translated or raptured. translated from living here on earth to living in glory with God. Nearly 25 centuries later, another prophet, Elijah, was similarly, this is a quote, but I don't think it was that many years. Elijah was similarly taken into heaven without dying, 2 Kings 2:11. It is significant that Enoch prophesied about midway between Adam and Abraham and Elijah, about midway between Abraham and Christ, and that both ministered in the times of deep apostasy. And that's from the Genesis record by Morse. Enoch and Elijah's bodies had not been changed, had to be changed, because their bodies were flesh and blood. And there in 1 Corinthians, as we're familiar with, 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." And the point of that I'm making here is that they had it, there was, in the Old Testament, he speaks of the translation being changed, being translated from the earth to the heaven, but in order to take up residence there, their bodies had to be changed. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And they were just as fallen as you and I were fallen. So they had the same kind of bodies that we had. Theirs was a little better shape than ours. They lived in the 900s, and we live in the less than 100. And so there's a difference there, but still yet spiritually, we are fallen creatures. And again, flesh and blood cannot inherit. Enoch and Elijah, then, is the first two that we know of, and the only two that were translated in like matter. Jesus Christ was resurrected, not translated. And there's a difference in that. This is true to the saints who, at the end of this age, will be translated or raptured or taken out, will have to receive a glorifying body. There in 1 Corinthians, again, 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise and be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so this is something that we're looking for. This is the next great thing that's going to happen in prophecy. And we don't know when that's going to be. That's God's business, when these things are. We say, well, this is happening, that happens, looked like, this, that, and the other. And we know that it'll be like it was in the days of of Noah. When Jesus comes, the rest of the saints will be resurrected into glorified bodies, some at the time of the rapture, other believers at the end of the tribulation. Revelation 20, 4 through 6, and that's talking about tribulation saints there. We're not going to read that for time's sake. Days of Methuselah were 969 years, longest recorded a life lived of any person. And I stress that because there could have been other people lived longer. The Bible doesn't say that he lived longer than anybody. That's what we say. He lived longer, and he has the longest recorded life in the Scriptures. He died the year of the flood, and his name means man of the dart. And Genesis 5:28 and 29, Lamech, prophet prophesied that the curse would be removed in Noah's day. There in Genesis 8:21, in Genesis 8:21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. And, of course, it goes on and speaks of the of God's sign in the sky. The name Noah purposely, according to this line, rest or comfort, is meaning speaking of doing away with the curse. And we say, well, why are things good and better than they are? Well, we wore out the earth. We're the caretakers of the earth. Sometime we get on these left-wingers or the people that's trying to save the trees and so on and so forth, and we misuse what God's given us. We're responsible to God to use it, and that we're to be the overseers of it and be sure we don't misuse it but use it properly. And so they go too far with their idea. They think they can save the earth, and they're not. I mean, one of the first things God's going to do is burn all the grass up, most of the trees, in the tribulation time. So they're going to have problems there. But nonetheless, we are to be good caretakers of what God's given us. This we think about the Noah was 500 years old when Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This does not follow the same order as all the other genealogies that have been given us, and it would seem like maybe they're triplets, but we know from other scriptures that they were not, which is it doesn't give their birth order. It mentions the three, just like Genesis 11:26, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran are mentioned as the same as if they's born at the same time. But we know from other scriptures they were not. This is what I mentioned earlier that I had quoted. We get a clue from Noah's son here. What else we learn from Genesis? Shem begot Apophisad when he was 100, and Apophisad was born 2 years after the flood, Genesis 11:10. We know that Noah was 600 years old at the start of the flood, Genesis 7:6. So what do we get from this? If Shem was born when Noah was 500, he would have been 100. He'd been a 100 the year of the flood, but he isn't 100 until 2 years later when our Apophisad is born. This means that Shem was born when Noah was 502. And there's other scriptures that indicate about Ham, I believe it is, that he wasn't, they weren't twins or triplets or whatever. But this is just a summary. The genealogy is given, just like they got sons and daughters. How many was that? We don't have a clue. And we don't know. Some estimate at the time of the flood that the earth was several billions, and some have it hundreds of millions, and the Bible just doesn't say. It just doesn't say, but people living 900 years old be getting sons and daughters, and each one of them are getting sons and daughters. It wouldn't take too long to fill the earth. And that was their mandate from God, that they were to fill the earth. Usually any birth given that is different, like twins, deformities, the Bible notates that, but it doesn't necessarily, it has to. And the assignment for next time is Noah and Noah's day and the flood, and how primitive was it in Noah's day? And I put some different things that we see in our time. The so-called landing strip date back to Noah's day or older. What about the thousand-year-old batteries that found? And just recently, because those were found hundreds, I guess over 100 years ago maybe. It would be over 100 years ago now. But recently, they just found the solar charging system in one of the pyramids or someplace. And so now, instead of they thought before what they did, they just poured the chemicals out, put new chemicals in to make the batteries work. But now they think they charged them with this newly found solar. we tend to think that they was eight cavemen running around in caves and all this, that, and the other. But I think the Bible indicates different from that. How does the Bible describe Noah's ark? A rectangle box, a ship with a keel, tapered sides with or without superstructure. What was the window all around the top? Small single window, many windows, and is it shaped similar to other arks in the Bible? An example, the Ark of the Covenant, which is four square. Did he use blanks, logs, hand-hewed, or machine-plane wood, or what did he do? He's 120 years building it, so this is not like an overnight build. Did the flood take away from the modern, take man from a modern society to a primitive one? What was its primary purpose? And did it have a secondary purpose? How large was the ark in today's measurement? How about the measurements of the door of Noah's ark? In truth, whose ark was it? And does it symbolize Christ in any way? I didn't mention the angels, which is usually number one on people's list in Genesis 6, that they want to talk about the angels and visiting women and so on and so forth. And we've touched on this before in other studies, speaking about angels, and they're just asexual. They do not procreate, and so this would make it almost impossible. But we do know that they do possess people, and this could be what it means there.